Again, just let yourself come back. We'll sit more. Just very, very gently coming back into the room. So my darlings, welcome. So we have some new people here this evening, so welcome everyone. It's here for the first time. I'll just say the Monday night class has been going on now for close to 20 years, and some of the people in this room have been here from the very beginning, and some of you were here for the very first time. So we've learned over the years to not even try to have a beginning or a middle or an end, because we have old timers and we have new people. If you can't hear, maybe do you want to come up closer? So Monday night class is based on the teachings of yoga with a lot of other wisdom teachings thrown in. And it's very much mantra-based meditation. I'm a big believer in mantra as a tool and a practice for softening the mind and preparing the whole mind-body system for meditation. So we do a lot of chanting in this class. And hopefully a lot of laughter. And we've been very immersed in the Surya Namaskar mantras that we were chanting just now for almost a year. Oh my God. It's been a year since we've been chanting the sun mantras. So all the teachings have constellated around the sun. And just, again, find your comfort level and just relax and receive as much as you wish to receive. And we generally open with chanting, and then there's a short Dharma talk, and then there's more chanting and meditation. And then we have a little bit of time at the end for sharing if people have had an experience that just really wants to be spoken. And then we have a closing chant and send everybody on their way. So that's how Monday night class goes. So tonight's topic is generosity. As I said in my email, I was waffling. This morning I was like, I need to tell the story of Demeter and Persephone again. But then later it was like, no, generosity. So it's generosity. Maybe next week we'll tell the story of Demeter and Persephone. I guess because of the spring I've been feeling Demeter and Persephone. But generosity is definitely the topic for tonight. And if I had any question about whether generosity was a topic for tonight, so I'm in my room. Well, earlier this evening, probably at around 6:30, I looked out the window and I saw this man just sort of wandering around right where I live. Just sort of wandering around, coming down my driveway and then going to other driveways. I couldn't tell if he was lost. He was just walking. Couldn't figure out what he was. But I just sort of noticed him at around 6:30. And then I was caught up getting ready for class, and then at around 7, I was in my room just kind of brushing my hair and changing my clothes and getting ready to come to class. And I have to leave my house at 7:20 to get here on time. So it's now around 7:05, I think, and I'm in my room, and I get up to see if the cat wants to come in, and here's that man I saw coming up the steps to my apartment. So I thought, all right, this is weird. So it turns out he's like from the New Jersey environmental whatever, and he's out collecting donations. And it was kind of hilarious because I needed to get dressed and leave, and here's this person who wants to talk to me about the environment and wants me to make a donation. And my kind of default mode is, in a situation like that, can you email it to me? Can you come back tomorrow? I'm running late. I need to leave. So, but their default is, well, no, today's the only day we're on the street. And can't you gave last year? Can't you please? It'll just take a second. I have this thing. It's electronic, credit card. So I wasn't feeling very generous, but I wasn't feeling... I couldn't get rid of him is what I'm trying to say. So I said, fine. So I get my credit card, we make the donation. Of course, it takes much longer than he said it would because he can't see, he doesn't have his glasses on. And And then he's talking to me, and I keep saying, I'm really running late, I have to go. But finally we complete the transaction, and he leaves. And I realize, oh my God, that was the most ungenerous act of generosity I've ever experienced. It was, I don't even have words for the depth of my ungenerosity. And I just had a laugh, you know, at how easy it is, with the best of intentions, to get completely caught up in these contracted states that are all about my precious time, my precious whatever. And here's this person, and he's out doing this incredible service. He's trying to help the earth. You know, it's all about the honeybees this year. And they have finally found the pesticide that's killing the honeybees. And this is a really, really excellent use of my $25, you know. And I think by the end I had surrendered, but there was still that edge of, you know, but I was still holding back. And it was such a profound teaching for me of what generosity is not. And I just had a laugh that it literally happened as I was trying to leave the house tonight, on this night when I was waffling about, is generosity the topic? And the funny thing was, somehow, after we finished, I managed to get dressed and drink some tea and still get here earlier than I needed to be. And that, of course, was the biggest joke of all on me. And such an important reminder, there's always time. There's always time. And when we allow ourselves to simply be, in this case, to be generous, there's time. I even had time when I was being, what's the word? Resistant. I was in resistant generosity. But I got the gift of time anyway. Had I been fully heart opened, I probably could have finished a whole cup of tea before I went there. So it was a very good wake-up for me. And so I wanted to share that story with you. And I also thought, you know, when I was thinking about class tonight, I was thinking, what's a good generosity story? And of course, I think the best generosity story is the Jataka tale about the hare. You know, we've told this story over the years. The hare, who is one of the incarnations of the Buddha, and he lives in the woods with the jackal and the water weasel and the monkey. And one day the hare gets this idea, tomorrow, why don't we save our food? But we won't eat, we'll just save our food and do something wonderful. And everybody says, great. But then as the day unfolds, the jackal steals his food, the water weasel kind of steals what he's gonna have also. The monkey doesn't steal it, but he sort of steals it too. He takes it from somebody's mango tree. And the hare doesn't find anything because he's not about taking what is actually not his. And in this forest where they all live is the fairy angel presence who's always watching and testing. And so she knows what they're about. And the next day she disguises herself as a beggar. And she comes first to the weasel and then to the... first to the jackal and then to the water weasel and then to the monkey. And although each one offers her what they had, it wasn't really theirs to give. Kind of like my experience with the generosity tonight. You know, the donation I gave, it wasn't a full-hearted donation. It was... a compromise, that's the word I want. It was a compromise donation. It was an intellectual, well, okay, I'll do it. But I was not fully, I was distracted by this notion that I had to leave and he was making me late. It's the same with the jackal and the water weasel and the monkey. They're not fully engaged in this act of selfless generosity. The hare, however, is. And he can't find anything. And he's feeling rather remorseful about this. And so when the angel disguised as the old beggar comes to the hare, he says, you know, I have nothing I can give you. And then he realizes, oh, wait, I can offer myself. Let me offer myself. You can roast me and eat me. I'll be a delicious dinner for you. And so she says, okay. And she makes, of course, a magical fire. And he leaps into the fire. And, of course, he's not burned. And, I get the chills whenever I tell the story. And that's the kind of generosity that we want to practice. You know, in the story it goes, and so that's why, well, we don't, because we see the so-called man in the moon, but in other world cultures they see the hare in the moon, and they say she threw the image of this lowly hare into the moon, so he would be forever, or she would be forever, memorialized as this great selfless sacrificer. And I know, you know, and I know we've all had this experience. When we truly give ourself, it's so easy and it's so energizing. And we're never depleted from fully giving ourself. I have this experience all the time in my work. People always say to me, God, your private sessions, Jesus, you go on so long. Oh my God, you must be so drained. No, actually, I'm never drained. Because it's an act of complete selfless giving. There's no drain, because I'm not there to get drained. You know, when we are in an act of true generosity, that ego sense of self is not present. It's just one self giving to another self. There's no drain there. There's just generosity. And when I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, and of course, ultimately, the relationship with ourself. Well, I always come back to that. I think the relationship with ourself is the most important, because that's what we then put out to the world. And, I've got a bunch of people right now who I'm working with who are all in one kind of crisis or another. And when I listen to them, it's so clear how they're not being generous with themselves. And they've got themselves in a very tight place. And there's no generosity in that tightness. There's only stress and misery. And all the practices we do, they're all about opening, and ultimately they are about opening into that generous stance when everything is okay. You know, when everything is okay, it's safe to be generous because nobody's going to take anything away from us. You know, why are we not generous with ourselves and with others? Because there's this deep terror that if I give, even to myself, somehow I'm going to be depleted. It's a very twisted notion that lives deep inside of us in a very wounding place. And so this act of generosity, as I was driving over here, I was thinking, yeah, if we really pay attention to all the moments in every day when we're not being generous, oh my God, you would fill 25 notebooks in one afternoon. And so it's a great practice. And remember, Surya, that's the self-luminous aspect of the sun. And again, we think of the sun, this incredible source of luminosity and energy and heat, and it gives so generously. I mean, it's amazing. The generosity of the sun puts us all to shame. I mean, the generosity of the sun is beyond the beyond. And what a teacher, what a role model. And that's Surya. That is Surya. That's that aspect. It's so deep, and it's so huge. And that light, that's the light that illuminates everything inside of us. And in that process of illumination, generosity is not only possible, it's the only thing that can be. And I'm not just talking about you know, giving to this organization today. I'm talking about the generosity that is embodied in our ever-expanding spaciousness. And that internal spaciousness is what allows us to live with a real sense of fluidity and grace and connection to that, to the light, to our own inner light. Because that spaciousness, it's so generous, it doesn't cling. It just offers itself to itself. I mean, in the Jatakatel, that's what's happening. What is the hair doing? It's offering itself really to itself. And if light is our true nature, which I tend to buy into that notion, and the sun is such an incredible example and metaphor and embodiment of that, and our own inner light, it's so generous, it never gives up on us. You know, like today, when I had this interaction with this funny little man, and I was rather ungenerous in my generosity, but once it was over, my own insight kicked in, and it showed me the humor of the whole thing, you know, and there was so much, and so in, there was so much generosity in that moment. You know, another way to go would have been to go down the ungenerous path of, oh my God, I can't believe it. You're going to give a Dharma talk on generosity tonight, and look at what a contracted creep you are with this poor man. You should be ashamed of yourself. Right? I mean, this is the kind of litany that a lot of us live with. It's not a generous way to live with oneself. So much more generous to have a sense of humor, right? About what complicated, filled with hypocrisy and contradiction we all are. That's our human condition. And we may as well love it, because it's not going away. So I'll just read you a couple of Mary Oliver poems, and then we'll chant some more, and then we'll sit. So this first one is called The Place I Want to Get Back To. The place I want to get back to is where, in the pine woods, in the moments between the darkness and first light, two deer came walking down the hill. And when they saw me, they said to each other, okay, this one is okay. Let's see who she is. And why she is sitting on the ground like that, so quiet, as if asleep or in a dream, but anyway, harmless. And so they came on their slender legs and gazed upon me, not unlike the way I go out to the dunes and look and look and look into the faces of the flowers. And then one of them leaned forward and nuzzled my hand. And what can my life bring to me that could exceed that brief moment? And then one of them leaned forward and nuzzled my hand. And what can my life bring to me that could exceed that brief moment? For 20 years, I have gone every day to the same woods, not waiting exactly, just lingering. Such gifts bestowed can't be repeated. If you want to talk about this, come visit. I live in the house near the corner, which I have named Gratitude. Yeah. And I think gratitude is one of the secrets of generosity. My sister's a big fan of practicing gratitude. And it is a very good practice. It's a very good practice. And since we are often so hardwired to practice the opposite of gratitude, which I think would be the poor me melodrama. It's very good when the poor me narratives are arising to do that Patanjali practice of meeting them instead with gratitude. It's a beautiful, beautiful opening, that sense of gratitude, that sense of generosity. They're very connected. Here's one more. This is a book called Thirst, and she wrote it after her partner, Mary Malone Cook, died. And I think it's when she first really started coming out as a person with a real spiritual seeking. And she was raised, I think, as a Catholic, or at least some strand within the Christian tradition. And so she addresses this. This one is called Making the House Ready for the Lord. And she writes, "Dear Lord, I have swept and I have washed, but still nothing is as shining as it should be for you. Under the sink, for example, is an uproar of mice. It is the season of their many children. What shall I do? And under the eaves and through the walls, the squirrels have gnawed their ragged entrances. But it is the season when they need shelter, so what shall I do? And the raccoon limps into the kitchen and opens the cupboard, while the dog snores, the cat hugs the pillow. What shall I do? Beautiful is the new snow falling in the yard, and the fox, who is staring boldly up the path to the door, and still, I believe you will come, Lord. You will. When I speak to the fox, the sparrow, the lost dog, the shivering sea goose, know that really I am speaking to you whenever I say, as I do all morning and afternoon, come in. Come in." Yeah. That's generosity. We always want to make welcome. Yeah. In Muktananda, that was one of the core teachings. He welcomed everyone with love. "I welcome everyone with love," he said it night after night. And I was raised by parents who were very welcoming. So that teaching was very natural to me. Chloe and I talk about this a lot because she too was raised by very welcoming parents. Claude's mother is the person, if you broke a glass or something, instead of getting mad, she said, "Oh, that's good luck." That's generosity. And that makes people feel welcome, you know, that makes people feel comfortable. "Oh, I didn't do this terrible thing. It was just a glass." That's generosity, and we want to live that way within ourselves and with all our interactions with everyone. Yeah. So let that percolate, and let's chant some more, and then we shall sit.